What a good message for us as a reminder tonight that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. You know, there's a lot of questions, a lot of confusion and emotions around our love these days. There's a lot of feelings of love that are fickle and that come and go depending on how we feel in the moment. And yet we all, deep down, I believe, do know that there is a different kind of love. There is a truer kind of love. And there is the kind of love that the Bible describes is as strong as death. In the Song of Solomon, we read about love is strong as death. And matter of fact, it is the kind of love that's even stronger than death itself. That is the love that we see described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is also what we call charity. Now, charity these days has a little bit of a meaning that could be easily misunderstood. You know, when we're involved in charity, that means, you know, we're feeding orphans or we're helping homeless people or, you know, that sort of thing. But really, charity originally, that word comes from the idea of God's love toward us, toward you and me this evening. And that's what I want to think about a little bit. Charity in its true meaning. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself up, is not puffed up. There's no pride, selfishness, or arrogancy in God-like love. It is patient, it is kind, and it is selfless. Charity further does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Endureth all things. Wow, isn't that the kind of love that we're actually looking for? God-like, Christ-like love. Charity never faileth, God says. And sometimes I'm afraid we treat love and our relationships, whether that's friendships, family, our church family, or our romantic love relationships, we treat it almost a little bit like this gentleman who was driving around, and every day on his way back from work, he passed by his favorite restaurant. Well, we all know how that ended up, right? Of course, you stop by every evening. And so one day he decided, you know what, it's time, I need to go on a diet. And so he purposefully decided to not drive past that restaurant anymore and take a different route. One day, though, as he was shopping, driving around town, he accidentally passed by that restaurant again. And I mean, you know, what an opportunity, right? So he prayed, as the story goes, Lord, it's really up to you. If you want me to have those delicious baked goods and cookies and chocolate cake that they have in the windows, then just create a parking place for me directly in front of that restaurant, that bakery. Well, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Sure enough, it just so happened to open up a parking spot and he couldn't help but eat the unhealthy food again, right? Now, that's not really how God leads. And that's not really how we ought to pray. Because once again, he was really trying to make happen what he wanted, right? Not what was best for him or really what God wanted. But where do we find true, fulfilling love? That charity that God talks about. Well, first of all, we need to understand something. And that is, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if you've been saved by His good grace, the Bible says that you're already loved. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says that God has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, as a saved person, you are accepted by God. That is so important, because a lot of people these days, they'll do just about anything to find acceptance, right? And God says, you don't need to do that. If you come to me by faith, I'm already accepting you. I've already loved you in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that expression of greatest love ever, we find not in a love letter, not in a box of chocolates or flowers, even though that's all great and nice. No, actually, the greatest expression of love ever we find on a cruel cross on a hill called Calvary. When Jesus Christ died for my sins and your sins, our guilt before a loving and holy and almighty God. And when he cried out on that cross, "It is finished," he really, in other words, said, "I love you so much," because he did it for you and for me. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth," that means he showed, he demonstrated his love toward us, "in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." The greatest expression of love, folks. He loves you so much that he was willing to have his hands and his feet pierced by thick nails. He loves you so much that he took every lash of that whip that tore his body apart for you and for me. He loves you so much that he was willing to have his beard ripped out. And if you would be the only person who have ever lived on the face of God's earth, he would still do the exact same thing, because he loves. He loves you so much that he was willing to have his head pierced with a crown of thorns. He loves you so much that he carried your entire sin and guilt on his shoulders as he died in our stead. Folks, that is true, magnificent love. And I thought a little bit about how to illustrate that tonight, and I came across a very fascinating story that I want to share with you tonight. As far as I know, this really happened, but I don't know for sure. But the story goes that after a Sunday service, during a Sunday service, you know, they sing the songs and all that, and eventually the minister comes up and introduces a special guest, and he makes mention that the person about to speak is one of his best childhood friends. And so he asked the guest to come up and just share with whatever he thinks would be fitting to share with the service. An elderly man comes up and steps behind the pulpit and begins to speak. And he tells a story. He says, a father, his son, and a friend of the son were sailing out on the Pacific Ocean along the coast. All of a sudden, a fast storm approached and blocked them in any attempt to return back to the shore, back to land. The waves were so high that even though the father was a very skilled sailor in their little sailboat, he was completely unable to get back to the shore, and wasn't long until the boat tipped over and the ocean waves swept over them. The old man who was speaking and telling the story made eye contact with two teenagers who were there in the service. And he noticed that all of a sudden they were interested, whereas before they looked pretty bored. And so he continues in his story, and as the old man goes on to say, the father, he was grabbing to the rescue line that was attached to the capsized boat that was floating in the ocean. And in the next few moments, he had to make one of the most excruciating decisions of his life. To which of the two teenage boys he would throw the other end of that lifeline. He only had seconds to make the decision. Now, the father knew that his son was saved. He was a Christian and believed in Christ for his salvation. But he also knew that his son's friend was not saved. The agony of his decisions could not be matched by the torrent of the waves surrounding them. And after a quick moment, the father yelled out, "I love you, son." And at the same moment, threw out the lifeline to the son's friend. By the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beneath the raging swells into the black of the night. His body was never recovered. The teenagers listening to that story in the service were sitting straight up on their pew and listening to every word. The old man continues, "The father knew that his son would step into an eternity with Jesus. But he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into an eternity without Jesus. So therefore, he was willing to sacrifice his son to save his son's friend's life." That is how great God's love is towards you and towards me. Our Heavenly Father, too, sacrificed His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could be saved instead. What a tremendous love. The old man goes on, "I urge everyone here tonight to accept that offer of rescue and to take hold of the lifeline that Jesus is reaching out." After the old man had sat down, the pastor gave a brief sermon, and at the end of the service, within minutes, the two boys were at the old man's side and tried to stroke up a conversation. They said, "This was a really nice story, sir, but, you know, I really don't think it's very realistic. I don't think it's realistic for a father to give up his only son's life in hopes that the other boy would maybe become a Christian somehow." "Well, you've got a good point there," the old man replied. And then sorrow began to overtake his smiling face as he looks at the boys and says, "It sure isn't very realistic, isn't it? But I'm here today to tell you that I understand more than maybe most the pain that God must have felt when he gave up his only son for us. You see, I am the man who lost his son to the ocean that day. And the son's friend is your minister, your pastor today." I thought, what a fitting story as we consider today the greatest of love. The love of God the Father towards you and towards me. Sinners who'd be lost and without hope in this world if it weren't for Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that only as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. In other words, we need to all ask ourselves the question, as God reaches out the offer of new life and hope and forgiveness and eternal life to each and every one in His great love, the question is, what have I done with that love? Have I ever accepted and received that love? Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, the writer of Hebrews admonishes us. And so, the question is, what have I done with the love of Christ for me? Have I ever received salvation in Jesus Christ? Have I ever trusted in Him alone for the forgiveness of my sins and to go to heaven? If not, well, tonight is the best night, amen? Why wait? But if you have received Jesus, I want to encourage you to keep that wonderful love of God towards you in focus and to keep that in front of your mind's eyes as you go through your life. And I want to close with some verses from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. He says there in Ephesians 3 verse 17, as he prays for the believers, and he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being, notice, rooted and grounded in love. Something that's rooted and grounded is not easily pushed over. It's not easily moved by the waves of the time and by the wind of doubt and the difficulties of life. Rooted and grounded in His love that is sure and steadfast toward us. He keeps praying, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. God's love for us is so infinitely great that, I mean, really, we can't rationally understand it, can we? But we can receive it by faith. And to know the love of Christ with passage knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And tonight, I want to remind us once again of that love of God through us in Christ Jesus, so that we may be rooted and grounded in that steadfast love towards us, so that we remind ourselves that, yes, I can know, I can personally experience and taste and see that the Lord is good and how much He loves me. Amen. And then I can face this world with confidence. Because whether this world accepts me or not, whether people in my life love me or not, or how they react, that's not really what matters too much. Because I know already that I'm accepted. I'm accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives a confidence and a joy and an assurance of being loved that makes all the difference in this world. So that's my burden and my prayer for us tonight, that we once again consider the love of God in Christ Jesus towards us. There's so many beautiful songs that are written about God's love, and I think really the story that we heard about the Father throwing out the lifeline, though, to the Son's friend, maybe really one of the best illustrations for that. He could not bear the thought of a Son's friend stepping into eternity without Jesus. How about you? How about me tonight? Amen? How's our love relationship with God? That's okay to talk like that, by the way. Some of you think that's weird, but it's very biblical. How's your love relationship with God? I'm not talking about physical, romantically, or anything, but a true love relationship, amen? Am I assured, and have I known, have I experienced God's wonderful love? I want to encourage you to just bow your heads in prayer tonight. So I just want to take a moment to get quiet before God, and maybe if nothing else, you want to thank Him tonight for His wonderful love towards you. Maybe you want to thank Him for choosing you even over His very own Son, that He was willing to sacrifice so that you and I could be loved and accepted by Him tonight. And if you've never made that choice to trust in Jesus alone, why not do that right here, right now? In the Bible, a man just simply prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord heard him.